I'm going to put it up here. Yeah, there you go. That's good. Well, good evening. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. And I did not like that play. I liked it all till the last one. Don't get upset. I liked it all till the last one. Where is she? The little girl that screamed. I'll just be honest with you. She started screaming and I'm over there started crying. I'm thinking, I know how to help her. I go. I wasn't ready for that. Y'all ain't supposed to, you're not supposed to do that to me before I come. You understand, in our world today, three people a second go off into eternity, lost and undone in our world. Three people a second in a year's time in our world, not America, in our world, about 95 plus million people go off into eternity lost and undone. Three a second. It's a shade over three a second. And we don't see it because it's not in your face, but it's real. What you saw, all the different countries of these young people, that all the different countries, they were relating their story and where they've come from and what they grew up in, and they're all trapped, lost and undone. You see, we're having a missions conference, and tonight, with the start of the missions conference and what took place in the play, I started switching things in my message. I'm sitting over there and I'm just contemplating and I'm writing on the back of things and trying to get some things together because I don't want to miss God, and I don't want you to miss God, and you're here for a reason. And the theme is, you can take my name off of there if you want. Go through God's door in 2024. I'm Brother Lou, Brother D. Hey, you. I answer to pretty near anything. There's no big shots in here. We're just us. And And I want you to turn in your Bible. We're going to use our Bible for a few minutes tonight, if that'd be okay. But as I got to thinking about missions conference, and Pastor quoted one of my favorite C.T. Studd, "The light that shines farthest must shine brightest at home." I have said that every year I've come here in a missions conference. Because if we don't shine the light of the gospel, if we don't shine the light, people that should have heard are not going to hear. And we shine the light, not like a flashlight. We shine the light by our lives and by visibly and vocally letting them know He's alive and real and loves them. That's how we shine the light. It's not a flashlight you carry in your pocket. I just want you to understand that, and I know you know that. But I got to thinking about what took place in that play. It still bothered me. Y'all did that play the second time I ever showed up for a missions conference 20 years ago. You did that play. And that messed me up so bad. I told my wife, I said, I went home. I cried from here all the way to the motel. I cried a lot. I said, "Honey, you should have saw this play. She goes, what was it like? I said, I don't know. I said, it just messed me up. And we're talking about going through open doors. Somebody said this, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. A.B. Simpson said this, the Christian is not obedient unless he is doing all in his power to send the gospel to the heathen world. Somebody said this, the true greatness of the church is not measured in its seating capacity, but in its missionary sending compassion. It was an evangelist whose name was on the screen a minute ago. This generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls on earth. I read a missionary story a while back, many years ago, and the missionary asked the chief of the village, what can I tell the Americans back home? What can I tell my people back home? What kind of missionaries do you need? And he made this statement. He said, send us men with hot hearts. Send us men that with hot hearts, men that are on fire for God, men that love God and care about God and care about souls. Send us men with hot hearts. You see, tonight, I'm trying to figure out where to go. I want you to take your Bible tonight, and I want you to find the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, because we're talking about open door. We're talking about going through God's open door, and I've been studying this thing in the last couple, 3 days since I've known about it. You know, as I thought about, what is a door? Now I'm looking at the clock, and I'm going to have you out here quick as I can. But what is a door? A door is an entrance or an exit. A door is an opening or a passage into a house or a building or into a room or into an apartment or a closet. It's by which people, a person can enter and or leave, which commonly turns on hinges. It's... But I got to thinking about what is a door. A door is God's, can be, I believe the doors in Scripture, they're God's openings, they're God's inlets and outlets, and they're God's opportunities for you and I. That's what a door is. And the very first door in Scripture, I don't even have time to talk about it. We'll talk about that tomorrow, maybe in Sunday school, pretty heavily. But my computer in my room decided not to operate, so I've been writing notes because it wouldn't do what I asked it to do. Piece of junk. When it works, it's great. When it doesn't work, everything's a piece of junk. Amen. But tonight, Matthew chapter 25, and if you're there, find verse 1, and as soon as you find verse 1, stand with me out of respect for the Word of God, if it would, please. Now I'm going to read a few verses, and we're going to talk for a few minutes. Look at verse 1 of Matthew chapter 25. The Bible says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Notice this next verse. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Let's pray. Father, would you help us tonight for just a few moments? Lord, I love you. Holy Ghost of God, I pray you'll set angels around my mind and on my lips and teeth and tongue. And God, help me to not, and all my eyes, help me to hear and then think and speak precisely and only what you would say if you were here. Father, I pray you'll draw those nearest hell to you tonight. I pray they'll be saved. God, I pray you'll help us to understand the importance of doing what we're supposed to do about getting saved and doing it right now. God, please bless in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat if you would. Now, I'm going to stick close to my notes, but it's a new sermon. I don't want to mess anything up, but I'll probably wander off. But let me just say tonight, all through the Word of God, the Bible talks about, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. And I looked up the number 10 in the Word of God is viewed as a complete or a perfect number. It speaks of testimony and law and authority and responsibility and the completeness of order. The number, listen, there were 10 plagues in Egypt representing God's complete and total judgment of the pagan empire. In Genesis chapter 1, God said 10 times. He spoke 10 times. God said 10 times as a testimony of his creative power. 10 commandments represent man's responsibility to keep God's laws and commands. And the 10th or the tithe represents a testimony of our faith in the Lord. Now listen, 10 is used all through the Word of God. And the Bible says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took lamps and took no oil with them. And they that were, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Can I say 10 virgins, 5 prepared, 5 unprepared to meet the bridegroom. 5 wise, 5 unwise. 5 that had oil, 5 that had no oil. These 10 lamps, 5 with oil, 5 without. 5 that can be used to light and 5 that cannot be used, have no light, no source, no energy, empty. Listen, these five virgins, 5 wise represent saved people. The 5 unwise or the 5 foolish represent the lost people. They were all virgins. They were all on the same ground. They were all on even keel. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all on the same line. There's nobody better than anybody else. Whether you're saved or lost, nobody's better than anybody. We're all the same. We're all human beings. Doesn't matter red and yellow, black and white. We're still all precious in His sight. Amen goes right there. And I want you to understand, there's no difference. God said there were 10 virgins. There were 5 foolish and 5 wise. And he describes the 5 wise as having oil. The Holy Ghost of God in the Word of God, the Holy Ghost of God that lives in you and I that are saved in the Word of God, he's symbolized as oil in the lamp. Now I want you to understand, I thought about this, I had to give this thing a title, and I titled it this, there is the open door that will one day be eternally shut, never to open for you. Because the Bible says these 10 virgins, listen, everybody had the same chance as all the rest to have and to prepare. Everyone had the same waiting and the same warning and could have been prepared. They should have been prepared. Everyone knew the bridegroom was going to come. Do you understand? Preachers for decades, for the last two or three or four centuries, for the last many centuries, have said, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming back, he's coming back. You better get ready. And I know what people do. They watch TV because you're an idiot. And you watch Fox News because you think they've got all the answers. They're so far from what's right. Anyway, let me move on because I don't want you to get mad at me. But you'll be okay. If you stay here all day, if you stay here tonight and all day tomorrow, I promise you, somewhere along the line, I'll say something that'll set you off, and you get your little shorts in a knot, and that's okay because I come here to tell you the truth. But there were 10 virgins. 10 people that had the same opportunities as all the others. Do you understand? You and I have the same opportunities as everybody else in the world. You can believe the preaching or disregard the preaching. That's up to you. It's your prerogative. It's your choice. But be careful. Because your choice may cost you. The Bible says in verse 6, not only did everybody know the bridegroom was going to come, but everybody was aware and had been warned that he was coming. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Let me just back up, because I've got to keep my notes, keep my head straight. But through the centuries, people have warned Jesus, the trumpet is going to sound, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. And because he hasn't come back in your time schedule, or in their time schedule, or in my time schedule, we think, well, he's just going to tear, he ain't coming back. And the Bible says he's going to come back, and you're not going to be aware. You're not going to know the day or the hour. You're not going to be able to figure this thing out. But while you are tarrying, and while you are slumbering and asleep, instead of going through the open door that's there, you're going to get caught napping. And God have mercy on your soul, because he won't, if you aren't saved. If you're like the five that had no oil. Listen, don't lose me yet. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, and at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. The Bible says one of these days that the rapture is going to take place, the rapture of the church. What is that, preacher? That the Bible says there's going to be a trumpet, that God's going to split the sky. You're going to hear a great trumpet sound. And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. To be called up with the Lord, to forever be with the Lord. Listen, one of these days it is going to happen that fast. Bible calls it in the twinkling of an eye. To put you trying to scare me? No, I'm just trying to let you know. I'm trying to warn you that one of these days, behold, the bridegroom cometh. You are either a wise or a foolish virgin person in this story. Right now, you're either a wise or a foolish virgin. I'm not judging you. I'm going to give you an opportunity. God wants you to go through the open door that will one day be eternally shut for you. The Bible says that in verse 7, then all those virgins arose, all 10 of them, and trimmed their lamps. They all turned it on and it went, and they know they're, I've got oil lamps at the house. I've got oil lamps. Look, I'm not a camper. You see Lou out in the woods, he's lost. He can't find the deer that he shot. You'll not see me going, hey, Lou, do you want a camper? Let's go camping. No, look, if you like camping, man, praise the Lord. I'm glad you like camping, but you're never going to see this old man buy a $100,000 camper and go park it under a bush out in the middle of East Jibip nowhere because we're camping. But I have hurricane lamps because lantern, I mean real life lanterns. And let me tell you, when it says they trimmed their lamps, they all came on because the wick will burn for a little while with no oil. The wick will burn. I just want you to know that, just to help you understand that the Bible is true. Even if we don't understand, the Bible's still true. I said, the bridegroom's coming, it's time to go see him. And they all got up and trimmed their lamps, and everybody's lamp came on. Verse 8 says this, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Hey, we done burnt the wick out, now we're in trouble. But the wise answer saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Listen, let me help explain this. Now, if you got your phone on, turn it off because you're not that important. What's the most important thing right now is what's going on. I don't know, but I'm just saying. Listen, I turned my phone off. Don't get mad. I love you. You're not mad, are you? Did I make you mad yet? I'm trying. Well, we got some kind of crazy idea that listen, when the Bible talks about these 10, the Bible says, hey, you just go buy your, you got to go get it yourself. Listen, they're not rude. They're just simply saying, we've got oil. You could have got yours from them. That I got it from them. You got to get saved when God says to get saved. When somebody brings the gospel to your door, somebody brought the gospel, brought the oil to these, to five of the wives, to five of the virgins, probably all 10 of them. Five of them took the oil. Five of them said, I'll get it later. I got plenty of time to buy oil. I don't even see a cloud in the sky. I don't need a lamp yet. I got plenty of time. Man, I've used this illustration here before, but I was a bus captain in Chicago for 4 years. And I had a busload of kids. Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, blacks, I mean, you name it. Anybody that would get saved, anybody that wanted to ride the bus, I'd go pick them up. And I had a lot of them. But I had one boy who was about 16. And he had all the answers. Preacher, I ain't got no time for that. I get saved later. I'm having too much fun right now. I got stuff to do. I got places to go. I got people to see. I ain't got no time for this foolishness of religion. I said, it ain't about a religion. I said, it's about you and I, about you having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It ain't about a religion. I said, I'm not trying to make you a Baptist. I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says so that you can be a born-again Christian, his child. I'm trying to help you be part of the family. It ain't about a religion. By the way, just because it said Baptist on the door, we preach the Bible here. Doesn't matter what you think and what I think. It matters what he says. And this boy named Juan, man, I said he was 16. I think he was 18. He was an adult. I had led his brother to the Lord. His little brother, Stevie, was one of my boys, one of my preacher boys. Stevie wandering around, and one night after I'm talking to Juan, I've been begging Juan for months to get saved. Months. One night I went to Juan and I said, Juan, I just believe you need to get saved. You need to get saved now. I said, Juan, you're playing with God, and he ain't gonna put up with it for long. And about 2 weeks later, I talked to him, I invited him to church. Yeah. When I got more time, I said, one of these days you're not going to have any time. And he looked at me. He started laughing. He said, you're 23, 24. I'm 18. He said, we got a whole life ahead of us. I said, how do you know? How do you know? You ever, anybody in this room ever been to a person's funeral that was under 20 years old? Look around. If you've been to a funeral of somebody under 20 years old, raise your hand. That's 75% of the people in the room. You don't know how much time you got. And that night, Juan was running around. He was running with the, I don't know if it was the Latin Kings or the Latin Disciples, and or there were two or three gangs on my bus route in Chicago. And I knew them all. And that night, he ran with one group and the other, they got in a fight. And on his street, he was running to the door to his house. And he turned around, they called his name, and he turned around and they shot him point blank. Now, I don't know that this doesn't make any difference or not, whether you know what a 357 Magnum pistol is, but it's a bullet about that long. It's one of the more powerful handgun bullets. I have one. Not with me, but I have one. And it tears stuff up. They shot him twice in the chest and once in the face. And he dropped over in half of his body inside the door and half of his body outside the door. And I believe because he never accepted Jesus Christ, all of his soul in hell. Because that's what the Bible says. But I tried. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Get out of my face, preacher. I got stuff to do. Verse 10 of this chapter is one of the most convicting to me in the whole thing. Verse 9 says, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for you, for us and you, but go ye rather and to them that sell and buy for yourself. Go get what I got from them. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Listen, the bridegroom came. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Uh-oh, he's here. The Bible says, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. It's talking about our forever home in heaven. They that were ready. The five wives who had oil in their lamp went out to meet the bridegroom. Hey, here we are. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. If the Lord will let me, tomorrow, in Revelation chapter 3, the very first verse I thought of when he sent me the thing, The very first verse I thought of was Revelation chapter 3, when the Bible says, He openeth a door that no man can shut, and shutteth a door that no man can open. Talking about Jesus. That was true when Matthew chapter 25 was written and spoken to you by Jesus. Now the door is shut. The Bible says, and it says, afterwards came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, listen, listen, I know you not. I know you not. I know you not. Lord, hey, hey, it's us. We're ready now. And from behind the door that's shut, he said, I know you not. I know you not. You ain't getting in now. Then the Bible sums it up and says this, verse 13, Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Can I say the foolish and unprepared return to a closed door? The foolish and unprepared requested admittance. Can I come in? But were denied. The bridegroom said, I know you not. Depart from me, another place says, Depart from me, I never knew you. I know you not. You can't come in. I know you not. Depart from me. I never knew you. The door is shut. Everybody that's in is in. Depart from me. Depart from me. Listen. All the chances are over. Look at me. Look at me. It's over. For those five, it's over. Just like that little girl that nobody stood up for except for the evil one. And drug her off as she was screaming off into hell. And as she was screaming, the Lord simply said, Depart from me, I never knew you. Because now the door shut eternally for you. For those five, the door was shut eternally. Listen to me. Shut eternally. No more chance. Look at me. No more chances. None. They had time. They had time to prepare like everybody else. They had time to get ready like everybody else. You know, the Bible says this. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, which means I've babied you, I've nurtured you, I've brought you to me. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. He's coming. He's coming. No matter what you think, no matter what I say, he's coming. When is he coming? I'm not sure. That's why we're supposed to be ye also ready. One of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, the sky's going to split, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and those that are alive and remaining are going to be caught up in the air together forever with the Lord. Hey, and it's going to be over for everybody left. Because the door's going to get shut. to you and I that have heard and heard and heard and heard and just kept saying, I got plenty of time, I got plenty of time, I got plenty of time, I got plenty of time. And everybody sit still because I'm done. I'm just about done. I'm trying to be nice, but when people get up and are rude, it aggravates me. Because I wasn't allowed to move when I went to church. I had to sit there. Man, it doesn't matter if you had to go to the bathroom or not. You better not even look at your mom. You might as well just wet yourself and take a whooping when you got outside. Because if you looked at your, if I looked like mom, I feel sorry for you young people that ain't never had a good whooping. Let me move on. Let me get back to my sermon. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. One of these days, and the door was shut. And the five that were wise went in to the marriage. They're in heaven now. Getting look at. Woo! Yeah! Wow, look at this. Walking on streets of gold. A street of gold. It's just one street, goes everywhere. It ain't streets, it's a street. It must be a long one. Because there's a lot of people up there. And a lot more of us coming. Are you going to join us? Or are you going to be shut out when the bridegroom cometh? Behold, now. Look, when you 98% of the time when you read the word behold in the word of God, don't read and go, behold. Read and go, behold! It's a word to get your attention. Behold! Now is the accepted time. Behold! Now is the day of salvation. God said, if you don't behold now, the door's going to be shut eternally. Somebody sang a song, and the song went, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral. You cannot be. Behold now. Behold now. It's time to go through the door. Five went through the door. Five were shut outside the door. You see, there is a door of salvation. There is a door and a window of opportunity. When is the opportunity? Behold now. Is the accepted time. For what? Behold, now is the day of salvation. God said, if you're going to do it now. Don't get shut out eternally. Heavenly Father, would you please bless this invitation? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one's looking around. I wonder tonight.